And we are back for another season, as you heard there. This is Men's Health Matters, everybody. I hope you're having a wonderful Saturday morning so far. I am Timmy Hall, and joining us for this half-hour edition is Dr. Greg Lowe from Ohio Health Physician Group Urology. He's joining us for a couple of episodes here of Men's Health Matters. Doc, it's good to have you back again. How is everything going with you and the family?
Oh, thanks, Tim. Everything's going great. It's been a fun hockey season for my son. My daughter's doing a bunch of singing and acting. It's all going real smoothly for us.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know we have the Columbus Blue Jackets who are back. We're starting to see some fans jump into some arenas with the pandemic, so that's nice to see. And the weather getting warmer is also a bright spot. I mean, I don't ever remember a winter. I've lived here for 8 or 9 years, and we've been under a foot of snow. So, I mean, if we can have our hockey and also have some of our spring sports, too, so we can get the ball rolling there, I think that's a good thing, man.
Oh, absolutely. A little sun, a little lacrosse, playoff hockey. That sounds great.
All right. So I know one of the things that has kept you busy, you're going to have a free patient education webinar that's going to be coming up on April 10th at 9 a.m., and participants can register for that event at edcure.org or just go to 971thefan.com. And you can navigate your way and register on our site as well. And all of these episodes are going to be hosted on our website, too. So if you know of somebody, if you hear something and catch some content and what we're talking about, you know, with men's health issues on this program, you can tell your friends and they'll be able to go to that website and find everything. Or just tell them to listen next Saturday at 9:30 in the morning on 1460 ESPN right here. So, Dr. Lowe, as we get into things, the topic of discussion for this episode will be erectile dysfunction. And I would just, for starters, this is such a wide-ranging issue. There are so many things that will come into this. When you have a patient that sort of comes in and it begins with, I'm suffering from erectile dysfunction, what are the first things that you have to start going through?
Well, I think the first thing is to try to help the patient be at ease. And that doesn't start with just me, but my staff. And that goes for any of us urologists that are doing erectile dysfunction. We want to get the whole story from the patient. We don't want a piece of it. We don't want them holding stuff back. We want to hear exactly what's going on because that helps us tailor treatments to exactly what they need. But the first thing I'm going to be looking for is, do they have surgical reasons for their erectile dysfunction? Have they had heart disease or stroke or some sort of vascular disease that may explain why they're having trouble with erections? Also, is diabetes involved? Diabetes does a number on erectile dysfunction. And unfortunately, for a lot of men, they just learn to live with it, when in reality, we have many treatments that can help them.
So what are some of the main causes of ED?
So the three main causes we're going to see are going to be vascular disease, and we see a very clear association with men who have trouble with erections also having a higher risk of having heart disease in the next 3 to 5 years. Diabetes is going to be a big cause, and then medication. And unfortunately, sometimes some of the medications we use to help with high blood pressure, depression, those are the ones that are going to ultimately end up leading to erectile dysfunction. In many of those cases, it may be better to actually treat the erectile dysfunction so that we can keep the other health aspects at the forefront and under control rather than just taking patients off medications.
So if somebody has low testosterone, is that something that causes ED?
It can be associated. I would say as men get older, the cause of ED being low testosterone becomes less and less, meaning that if I've got a 30 or 40 year old in the office who's got low testosterone having trouble with erections, they'll often respond and notice improvement with their erections by treating that low testosterone. However, when we start looking in the 50, 60, 70 year old age range, most of those patients will improve their sex drive. They'll improve their motivation. They'll improve their energy with treating the testosterone, but often the erections will not bounce back to what they would consider normal.
What would you say, you know, I'm of the age where my wife's constantly getting at me and telling me to go to the doctor and make sure you're getting your physicals. But when you're talking about this, when you're talking about ED, like what are the age ranges that you typically see? I'm just curious, like when people might have reservations, you know, they might say, well, I'm too young to be having these problems. So maybe I'll just wait another 10 years and then I'll feel better about myself before I go and get checked up on this front. If you could speak to that just a little bit.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think a lot of the guys either think, yeah, it'll just go away, it'll get better, or they become worried that, oh, I'm too young to seek treatment.
Right.
Or their primary care, somebody will tell them, oh, it's just in your head. You just got to stop thinking about it as much. Well, all of us have that psychological aspect and particularly for the men who have ED, when you get farther along, it's not just the underlying physical problem, which we know makes up 90% of ED, but there does become a psychological aspect to it. I see guys from the late teens, early 20s on. And as men age, we see a higher number of patients coming in for ED treatment. I do think now that we're 20 years, almost 30 years in with having treatments for ED, that we're seeing a greater acceptance and willingness to come in and talk about it and to search for treatments. But there's still that stigma out there where patients don't want to think about it, or they want to go somewhere where it doesn't go into a medical record and try to find treatment. That's why if you go to the gas station, you can find all that stuff on the shelf that's sitting off to the side of the cash register.
Right, right. It's loaded, and I know. You're at a certain age, and you're saying to yourself like, "Oh, I'm never gonna have to go through any of that stuff, or I won't need it." And you never know. You never know what life is gonna give you.
Yep.
But before we keep going on and talking about this, I wanted to go back and just talk about your career and the things that you're used to seeing. And again, everybody, he is Dr. Greg Lowe from Ohio Health Physician Group Urology. So why is it important for men of any age really to start seeing a urologist and do that with some frequency? How frequently should we be seeing a urologist?
Well, I would say urologists are unique in the sense that we're one of those groups where nobody really gives us a whole lot of thought until you really need us. And then usually it's a big urgent type thing, whether that's inability to urinate, whether that's some sort of diagnosis of cancer, blood in the urine, or trouble with erections. There's a number of things that we're going to treat. For most men in general, we would recommend they start seeing a urologist around the age of 40 to 45. And that's to do a screening PSA, get a sense for overview of how well they're urinating, gives us a chance to actually check in on symptoms of erectile dysfunction. Because if we do see that, then we can start to work it up. And we're certainly noticing that patients that we find that have erectile dysfunction in their 40s and 50s, if we can't find another cause, we can start to look at things like atherosclerosis or narrowing of the blood vessels, and it tells us how aggressive we need to be to try to protect their heart down the road. So generally around 40s or 50s, although these are also things that patients who have a really good primary care, their primary care is going to at least start by looking at around those same ages.
Interesting. So, hey, I'll just tell you, you're not taking a backseat to a brain surgeon for me, okay? mightily important. So yeah. Keep doing the work out there. So you mentioned some things right there. Is there anything else that you guys as urologists treat on a regular basis?
So we'll routinely treat prostate cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancer, adrenal cancer. We routinely treat incontinence for both men and women. Recurrent UTIs, kidney stones are probably one of the biggest things we see and ultimately treat. Those are going to be the big ones. Erectile dysfunction, testicular cancer are certainly in there as well. So there's a large number of things that urologists will treat. Even sometimes looking at the aspect of testicular pain and things of that nature, particularly as it pertains to varicoceles or infertility type aspects.
So you mentioned some age groups there. You said 40s to 50s. What's the youngest age, I guess, you would recommend a man starts getting tested?
Yeah, as far as for the PSA testing?
Sure.
Yeah. For PSA testing, we usually look at around the age of 40 doing a test, and then either every other year or every 5 years doing a screening. And then when we start hitting around the age of 50, doing an annual exam. And the blood test we have, the PSA screen for prostate cancer, is probably our best bet in regards to that workup. And it's not something where we need to overreact to any one absolute number, but following trends over time, looking at patient characteristics can really help us know what the risk of prostate cancer is there.
All right, everybody. We are going to have much more Men's Health Matters in just a second.
Did you know that diabetes, heart disease, and prostate cancer procedures can contribute to erectile dysfunction? Many men aren't aware of this or of all the treatment options that a board-certified urologist can offer. Understand your options and learn where you can find an ED specialist in Central Ohio to help. Visit edcure.org to get the facts and find a urologist who can offer treatment options that work when pills and injections don't. Again, that's edcure.org, sponsored by Boston Scientific.
And once again, we are back here. It's more of Men's Health Matters on 1460 ESPN every single Saturday morning here for a while, at least for this month at 9:30. Keep checking back Saturday mornings, and we'll be talking about some very important issues to men's health. And we're very pleased to still be joined with Dr. Greg Lowe from the Ohio Health Physician Group Urology. Dr. Lowe, it had been a couple years, I think, since we had done this, so it's good to be talking to you again and spreading the word and trying to get some of the men in our community to get themselves checked out and to worry about their health again.
Thanks, Timmy. Yeah, I think it was almost exactly 2 years ago because the Jackets were had just won a playoff series, and I don't think I had much of a voice at the time.
Is that amazing? That was... Yeah. The most incredible series in franchise history, sweeping the Tampa Bay Lightning. And look at the CBJ now. We're just trying to keep fighting, right? Just stay in that fight. Just figure out how to get that franchise to a place where they can maybe go deeper in the postseason than just winning a first-round playoff series, right?
Yeah, I like the way they're constituted right now. They looked good last year in the bubble. I think there's just a few things to work out, kind of get everybody on the same page, but they've got the pieces.
So we were talking about erectile dysfunction back there and trying to figure out or going over what some of the causes are and getting into what some of the treatments will be as well. But first off, I was wondering if you could inform the people about what Peyronie's disease is and where that comes from.
Yeah, I think people are finding more and more out about Peyronie's. Peyronie's is an abnormal curvature that patients will have when they have an erection. And this isn't just a slight curvature that patients are born with. This will be more of a dramatic curvature, usually is something that's different than where patients have been in the past, but it's a dramatic curvature. Sometimes will cause trouble with sexual activity. Other times it's just cosmetic in nature. But we're finally having some treatments available to take care of Peyronie's. And so there's more and more advertisement, particularly on like the Golf Channel. And so patients are hearing about it.
So that sounds dramatic, like when you talk about curvature. So like what... I would imagine you get some pretty freaked out patients that come in and you tell them the name of that disease. If they don't know what it is, people are probably pretty freaked out about that, correct?
Yeah, they certainly are worried about it right off the bat. And what it's going to do? Is it going to keep happening? Is it going to worsen? What do we need to do to make this stop? Yeah, like I said, we're thankfully getting some treatments coming in for this. Many of the patients have an associated erectile dysfunction. Many of them will also have trouble with their prostate being enlarged. So there's often multiple things that we're working on at one time, but getting that curvature improved and looking a little bit more close back to normal is pretty important for a lot of guys.
If we go back to talking about erectile dysfunction and just starting to look into what some of the major and main treatment options, I'm just wondering what do you deal mostly with? We all grow up seeing the 2 minute infomercials, like you mentioned, while we're watching golf on a nice Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Why they just have to throw that at the golf crowd and nobody else? Like, hey, don't you see that this is a young man's game now? Like, everyone that I see on the golf course is in high school now. They're trying to be the next Tiger Woods. But either way, what are some of those main treatment options?
Yeah, right now, we really have five FDA-approved treatments, and it hasn't changed a whole lot over the last couple of years, although there's a lot of stuff in the works and being evaluated. But the five different treatments we have are going to be pills, and so that's going to be your Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, Stendra, and thankfully, a lot of those are actually generic now, so cost has come way down. We're going to have options of a intraurethral. So a little pellet that goes into the opening of the penis and gets absorbed through the lining that helps patients have an erection. There's an injection option that's available. The injections sound awful, but it's a tiny, tiny little needle. It does go into the side of the penis. But I tell my patients, look, I've tried it, so I'm not lying to anybody. You hardly feel it. There's a vacuum device option that's available. And then finally, the other option we have is a penile implant. And of all things, the penile implant's actually been around the longest.
That once again, you almost stopped me dead in my tracks that there are so many different options that are available. And everything that you said sounds a little unnerving, but you're saying don't be. I would imagine a lot of your job is talking people off of a ledge, right?
It is. And actually, it's probably just a couple of years ago I realized part of the reason I love what I do is my background's in psychology. And this is a good blend of that.
Oh, well, and that explains it.
And some of it's just getting patients to say, hey, look, yes, this is not traditional to what I had thought life would always be, but it gets them back to a very satisfying, intimate sexual activity. And really, for a lot of guys, you know, when they come in, we're talking about, let's say, the injections, their eyes kind of get big, they bug out a little bit. And I explain to them, look, the reward far outweighs the little discomfort. And the vast majority of them will agree with me after just a couple episodes.
All right. That's interesting. And you have to tell people that you're not turning them into a cyborg either. That it's, it's nothing
right.
That's quite that dramatic, I'm assuming.
It's not that dramatic. And think about it. If we couldn't play sports, we'd replace a knee or a hip. So, you know, if we can't have enough blood flow coming into the penis.
Right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Exactly.
So we're here with Dr. Lowe, everybody, and it's another edition of Men's Health Matters. And he is with the Ohio Health Physician Group Urology, and he's kind enough to join us for a couple of episodes here. And by the way, so you've got the free patient education webinar that we mentioned earlier. That's coming up on April 10th at 9 a.m. Participants can register at edcure.org. There's also going to be a link where you can go to 971thefan.com and navigate to the show page here and sign up that way. What are those webinars like? I mean, we're doing everything virtually these days. It's what we've learned how to live. Like, our whole society
right.
has gone this route now. Like, we don't have any interaction with people anymore, except for you being a doctor. You're one of the lucky ones that still gets to see people.
Yeah, I actually still prefer to see patients in the office because I think it's a little more personal. But the webinars are nice. The webinars are confidential. The patients have the ability to ask questions, but they can also just sit there and nobody knows who else is online. But we can essentially give quite a bit of information in a period of time, let's say 30 minutes, that will help patients to understand what options are available for them without having to make an appointment, without even having to leave their home. And so the webinars have been a nice little thing that I think in the past when we would have done the meetings actually in a facility, this is even easier and simpler and even a little more confidential.
So there's a little bit of added comfort right there, you would say.
I think for a lot of guys, particularly as they first start looking into the different options that are available.
As you mentioned back there, for some of the ED treatments, that there are four or five of them that you listed off that are FDA approved. And I keep hearing about the different kinds of treatments, like shockwave treatment. That sounds, also to use the word dramatic again, what is that? What are those?
Yeah, so the shockwave treatments, and that'll be things known as Gainswave, focal compressed linear therapy, low intensity shockwave. It's going to go by a number of different names, but these are things that are not FDA approved currently. They're things that still probably need a lot of work to really hit and work for the majority of men. It's based around the idea of providing a low level shock to the penis to stimulate extra blood vessel growth, as well as to clear vessels that may have narrowing within them. This had started about 10, 15 years ago in Europe. It's something that kind of went through waves of, oh, it looked really good. And then the research didn't show much. It never really progressed very far, but there's trouble in knowing how many shocks do we give? Where exactly do we give the shocks? What intensity should it be? So right now it's purely experimental. Our National Sexual Medicine Society says, hey, this is exciting in the sense that it may be something for us in the future. But when done right now, it should be done as a clinical trial and at very little risk to the patient, or very little monetary cost to the patient, I should say. So at this point in time, as far as I'm aware, the best studies are coming out of the University of Miami in Florida, as well as the University of Virginia is getting started with one. Unfortunately, most of what's going on in other parts of the country isn't necessarily being done in a clinical trial. Patients are more than willing to pay for it, but the majority of patients aren't necessarily seeing the outcomes that they had hoped for.
All right, that's really interesting. So one of the other questions that gets asked a lot is, if you have ED, why is it really important to go and see a urologist like yourself as opposed to going some other route?
Yeah, so a lot of times patients will initially talk to their primary care about it, or their internist, or even endocrinologist, let's say if they have diabetes. So a lot of the patients do have a touch point with another provider early on, can get started with the pills. I think the importance of seeing a urologist is to look at it a little deeper depth, looking for underlying causes rather than just treating. So whether that might be a pituitary tumor, could be something associated with blood flow, could be looking at the diabetes aspect things, or a neurologic injury such as a back injury. So seeing a urologist is going to help look into that a little bit further. Also, urologists are generally going to be the ones that are going to escalate therapy. So if you need to go to something a little more involved, that's where most of the urologists are going to come in.
All right, we're going to have much more Men's Health Matters in just a second. Stay with us, everybody.
If you have erectile dysfunction, you deserve to learn about all treatment options without an upfront fee. ED is a medical condition. Insurance should be discussed and accepted. Board-certified urologists offer all treatment options from pills and injections to an outpatient procedure. Consult with an ED specialist, not a men's clinic offering just one treatment option. Go to edcure.org to get more information and to find a urologist in your area. Again, that is edcure.org. Sponsored by AMS Men's Health, a part of Boston Scientific.
And welcome back, everybody, to the first of four episodes in this season's run of Men's Health Matters. And there could be more coming right after that. We're excited to be back and helping everybody here in our community, all of the men out there, stay in touch with their health and try to do the things that they can to get checked up, get checked out. And we're here with a good friend of mine who we did some of these shows with 2 years ago. He's Dr. Greg Lowe from Ohio Health Physician Group Urology. And Doc, we've talked about a lot of things so far in this half hour edition, but topic of the day has been erectile dysfunction. And just to go over like what kind of some of the bullet points we hit from the first two segments, it's really something that you don't have to be embarrassed about, right? There are, I mean, how many millions of men deal with this in our country? It's a big number. So you're not alone out there if you're dealing with this.
Yeah, it's about half of men. I mean, when we really look at it, it's about half of men.
And, right. A lot.
And if you're being honest about it, you know, even the guys that come in that have a medical reason for it, if you ask them, well, have your, let's say before prostate cancer surgery, had your erections been the same? They're like, no, I was getting a little older. They weren't quite what they had been. So it's a very common thing. It is associated with heart disease. And so it's something now that can have a very positive predictive value for us in letting us know who we really need to work on blood pressure and get into rehab and exercise early on. And we have good treatments for it. I mean, some of our treatments now are very successful and easy to administer.
Maybe more on that before we take another dive into this implant. I was getting a lot of questions rolling in, Dr. Lowe, about the implant that you were discussing back there. So we'll sort of finish up this episode and answer some of those questions. But another one about just ED in general, is it something like what are your chances or risks if you think you have it, but you may be a little hesitant to go get checked up or do anything about it, can that lead to other damaging health issues for you down the line?
Absolutely. So the most common one, the biggest one we worry about now is heart disease. So we know that men who show up, particularly in their 40s and 50s, that have erectile dysfunction, even if it's mild, that they're at higher risk, meaning 3 to 5 times higher risk of developing heart disease in the next 5 to 10 years. And that's irrespective of whether they have other medical problems, other diabetes, high blood pressure, heart, high cholesterol, things of that nature. So it's important for us to look into it. It tells us who we need to stratify into a group to be more proactive in preventing that in the future. But also we see men show up that have enlarged prostates, and that's associated with erectile dysfunction, or they may have low testosterone. Or any number of problems, even pituitary lesions that we can actually treat and that will fix their erections.
So back to what we said we were going to get into with one of the treatments that you did recommend. And by the way, your answer there, I think, should speak to everybody. So get yourself checked out. See a urologist. Part of what we've been telling you, don't let something like that just sit there. I mean, I'm sure your wife is yelling at you to take a little bit more care of yourself. I know mine is always with me, and it's something I'm trying to do. I don't have New Year's resolutions, but here in 2021, I'm going to get that checkup. I'm actually going to be doing that later this week and calling a doctor. Good. I've gotten new health insurance since I switched over to my wife's plan. She works for the hospital, so it's all good there. If I'm going to do it, everyone out there listening, you do it too. But back to one of those treatments that we were talking about in the last segment for ED. You mentioned, I just got to go back to it. You mentioned an implant, and it sounds severe. Tell me why it's not.
It's been around since the early 70s. In fact, around 1972.
Really?
Back then? Yeah, back then the prevailing theory was that most erectile dysfunction was in a guy's head, that it was psychological. And as we've started to have more and more treatments, we've realized, no, 90% of this is something physical. And there may be some worry, concern, things of that nature that creeps in, but 90% of this is something physical. The implants have undergone multiple changes over that time. They're very strong. They're very effective. At this point in time, there's almost nothing that patients can do to harm them without sticking a needle in there, to be honest. It's a quick procedure. We're talking about 40 minutes or so in the operating room and home the same day.
Wow.
So while you know, most of the patients are a little worried about it coming in because they just don't know what to expect and because of where we're operating. Beyond that, when they get done afterwards, the most common thing I hear is, man, I should have done this years ago because it works. And just that confidence and consistency goes a long way for most couples.
So, Dr. Lowe, with just about 2.5-3 minutes left in our show, I want to make sure that you got time to hit just the most important aspects of this penile implant. What to you are some of those things? I mean, is it covered by insurance? I mean, I'm sure the satisfaction issue is a big issue there. You know, different types of it. Just what are some of those final few bullet points?
Yeah, so it is covered by insurance. Very well. In fact, it's, for many insurance plans, it's the only thing that's truly covered for erectile dysfunction. Satisfaction scores are very high. So we're looking at 90 to 94% when you talk to men, 96% for their partners. If men are dissatisfied, a lot of times it's because they may have lost a little length from when they were younger. And unfortunately, there's only so much we can do for that. If I could truly fix that, there'd be a line out the door. I'd be retired within about 5 years and probably owning an island. So unfortunately, can't always get around that, but we give guys everything we can. As far as different options of types that are out there, there's a three-piece that's inflatable, and it has a reservoir, two cylinders that should fill those channels that are supposed to fill with blood, as well as a pump. And so when guys want an erection, they pump it up. It'll stay up as long as they want. They've got normal sensation on the outside. They can reach orgasm. They can ejaculate. They can do everything that they normally would do. The difference is it won't go down until they hit the button to get it to go down.
And sorry, not to cut you off, Doc,
no.
But you'll discuss risks with something like this, obviously, with any patient you'll have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's important that patients know exactly what to expect going into this. As far as other models, there's one that's just bendable. That's great for patients who have hand issues or dexterity issues. And there's one that's just a two-piece model for patients that may have something going on with their belly that makes it difficult to get into.
So
I would say it's...
No, go ahead. No, finish up real quick. Sorry.
Yeah, I would say, you know, as we talk about risk, because that's an important balance here. Hey, is this the right call for me? The biggest risks we're going to see, the biggest one I worry about is infection. Now, granted, it only happens about 1% to 2%, and the Boston Scientific product is actually coated in antibiotics.
Oh.
So it's really brought that risk down. But 1% to 2% still is worrisome because it does lead to other surgeries in many cases, if we find that infection. Mechanically, like anything, they can fail over time, although at this point in time, at 10 years out, 90% of them are working well. And other than that, we can see injury to other organs, but that's part of why it's important, just like other procedures, to find somebody who does a lot of them, because you're going to minimize that risk.
Well, I think that was some wonderful stuff for this first episode. Everybody, Dr. Greg Lowe from Ohio Health Physician Group Urology. Very nice to have him on Men's Health Matters. We look forward to having you again on another episode.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And be sure to check out that free patient education webinar, April 10th at 9 a.m. We'll see you next week on Men's Health Matters.